Now then, we're in the book of Ephesians, and I'd love to start off in Thessalonians, but I won't. I'll do that. I'll save that for another day. But I'm just excited because I know that when God speaks a word, what do we know about his word? It shall not return to him void or empty or without having an effect. Whenever God speaks, his word goes, and the Bible says it runs very swiftly, and it accomplishes that which he pleases, and it prospers in the thing to where he sent it. So when God spoke his word from eternity past, that word has gone forth and is still full of power and is still bringing itself to pass. God's word is the only word that has power to bring itself to pass. My God, Jesus. Do you know who we serve? Yeah. His word is the only word that has power in itself to bring itself to pass. Our words don't have that. And that's why we turn on the television. People say things all the time and they end up being wrong. And so when I stand before you and we open up this book, the word of God, And we're going to read the word of God. This word is alive. It's powerful. Hebrews 4 tells us, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's full of life. And so as we come to it, sometimes I shudder in my soul when I think about what God has called us to do, to speak his word, to put his word in our mouth and to speak it forth, because his word is going to bring forth fruit. So last week, we're going verse by verse through Ephesians chapter 5. And last week we dealt with verses 8, where it reads, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And we dealt with how God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. And God says that we are children of light. And that word all by itself is working its way in your life and in mine. And God is causing the light that is in us, which is, remember what the light is, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light that is in you is Christ's own life that is in you. And that life is being made to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Okay? Until the coming day. The Old Testament tells us that light is pushing out all darkness. For he took us out of darkness and thrust us into his marvelous light, the First Peter tells us. Excuse me. Now, we went on in verses 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth," which means that the fruit of God's light and his life living within us is going to produce goodness, righteousness, and truth in the Christian. Okay? Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And then we in response, verse 11, "have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Why do we not do that? Because we're children of light. And this light is burning within us, the life of Jesus is living within us, causing the light of Christ to burn within us. "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." We ended there in verse 13, but when we pick up in verse 14, Paul says, "Therefore," he says, "awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." We'll pick up here. The Bible scholars don't know what particular passage of Scripture Paul's referring to when he uses this in verse 14. "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." There's no particular passage of Scripture that fits with the context of what Paul is saying, because Paul is talking to the church in Ephesians chapter 5. He's speaking to the church, and when he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead," he's still speaking to the church. Some believe that he's speaking to unbelievers. But the context is, he's speaking to the church. Well, we know this, that when you turn the lights out, that we turn the lights out when we sleep, right? And he says, "Awake, those of you who sleep. Now, remember, he's talking about children of the light. But he says, awake of those of you who sleep and arise from the dead. We know dead folks don't need a light. I mean, there's no reason. Both the dead and the sleep lie down horizontally in the same position. So he's speaking to the position that a child of the light would take. He's speaking to a position that, and I think to better understand this, we have to remember what Jesus said to Peter. When Peter had said, you know, others may forsake you, but I'll die for you. And Jesus said, Peter, you know, he prophesied his fall. But then he said later in the garden, he said, Peter, be watchful, be alert, and pray that you do not enter into temptation. But what happened to Peter and the rest of the disciples? When Jesus was in the hour of him temptation, they were also in the hour of temptation. But Jesus was alert, stayed awake, and prayed through the hour of his temptation. What did the disciples do? They went to sleep. Paul said, awake, you who sleep. He's talking to Christians. He said, can Christians be asleep? Hello? Of course Christians can be asleep. And Paul is speaking to them right now. He says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Arise from that position, right? So we see here that Paul is addressing the church. Christ is the head of the church. Christ instructs his church to be watchful, not to be asleep. And Paul is bringing that same message here. Remember, even in the Old Testament, the book of Jonah, you remember when Jonah went down into the ship, paid his fare. God said, go to Nineveh. He gets on the boat. He says, I'm going to Tarshish. He goes down to Joppa, gets on the ship. I'm going to Tarshish. And God said, go to Nineveh. He goes the opposite direction. And when this storm, God whips up this storm, here comes the storm. And the scripture says that the mariners were afraid. And every man cried out to his God, and they threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah, now while all of this is going on, everyone crying out to their God, they're throwing the wares and the goods overseas. The scripture says, but Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. While everybody on the ship is about to die, Jonah is asleep. Can Christians be asleep? Oh, yes. While everybody in the world dying and going to hell, Christians can be like, well, I'm just relaxing and have a good old time. Let me, turn up the heat. Feels good in here. And we, you know, up underneath, sleep. And so we see the picture. We see it in the New Testament. We see it here in the Old Testament. So the captain came in and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? I love that. And he says, sleeper, what do you mean? Get up, sleeper. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. The sleeper, the one who had the answer, had to be awakened. Get up. They said, wake up, Jonah. Paul here in Ephesians chapter 5 is saying, awake you who sleep. You know what the thing is about being asleep and what happens when you're dead is that you're totally unaware of your surroundings. Why? Because to go to sleep, you have to lose consciousness. And you're not aware of anything going on around you. Paul says, don't Christians live that way. Do not live that way. Be aware. We'll see as we get into the next verse. We'll see. And that's all we're going, these two verses today. Three verses, if you will. And so he says, no, be aware. We should live a life full of the life and light of Christ that he's provided us through the cross, full of that light. He died that we might live and not continue in death. And I'm saying that because Paul says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead. Arise from the dead. Can a Christian, can a New Testament Christian be quote unquote dead, as it were? Well, yes. I mean, Paul says it, but you know, the scripture always confirms itself. When the scripture says something, you don't have to go outside of scripture to bring something in to confirm what God says, because God will always have another scripture to confirm what he said in one part. Okay, so we go. So you say, Paul's talking to Christians, arise from the dead. I thought we were already alive in Christ. He says, Ephesians 2:1 says, and you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. But Paul is saying here, arise from the dead. Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Jesus says to the church in Sardis, to the angel of the church in Sardis, right? These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. My God, wait a second. Jesus is talking to a church and he's telling them, you have a name, you have a reputation for being alive, but really you're dead. It's called the dead church. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. And so we see that those who are awake and those who are alive in Christ have the light of Christ, because he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ will give you light. And so we find, you know what, for your light to shine, you don't have to put a bumper sticker on your car that says, follow me this way to the Father's house. You don't have to spout the four spiritual laws every time you get around someone to, you know, you don't have to be this outward, you know, your WWJD bracelet or have your big 500-pound Bible. That doesn't say that you're a Christian. It is the light and the life of Christ in you that pronounces to the world that you are Christian. We went over that last week when Paul says that whatever exposes is made manifest by the light. And when you and I go in and just go into the workplace and just live an authentic, honest, genuine Christian life, there is a blaze of light that is going out to people. So I'm cleaning carpet Friday, and my last job, and it's a lot of work. Anyhow, lady says, I'm going out, run an errand. You need anything? No, I'll just be doing my job. She comes back, and the bill was a certain amount, and she says, now you think I could get a discount if I pay for cash? No, that's no. Nothing amiss about that. And I just looked at her. I said, no. No, that don't work. So I'm thinking to myself, no, because I'm sweating and slaving here, and I need every dollar. Glory to his name. And then she looked at me. She said, yeah, but I thought those 200, I thought them crisp $100 bills would be talking to you. And I said, look at that. I'm like, wait a second. Wait. Because, see, what you have to know is this. When you run a business or own whatever you do, when you get paid in cash, this is a lot of business owners. This is when you get paid in cash, the checks you deposit in the bank, which the government, when they get that 1099, they can track all the fact that this company gave you X amount of dollars. But when you get paid in cash, there's a lot of business owners, a lot of Christians included. When you get paid in cash, the cash, that's why she said, oh, I thought those crisp $100 bills would be talking to you. See, because the cash goes in the pocket and never gets taxed on. And you think you done got over. Hello? You think you got over? Listen, the government has eyes, but your Father in heaven? Hello? Who you fooling? Hello? Doesn't work that way. And so I just said, no, just, you know, I got a credit card swiper, write that check, whatever you want to do, but we're going to do it because I really don't have time for that. You know, I just can't. Because that's a whole lot of mess. You know, the moment you start, it's like when you go tell a lie. The moment you tell a lie, Guess what you got to do? Tell a whole bunch more. Man, you start one. You're going to find yourself in over your head in life. And you know you can't keep up with it. But last week you said such and such and such. So, no, just live a upright life in Christ Jesus, and the light of Christ will shine. It will just shine because of who he is in you, right? So then, verse 15, Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me share what one commentator, Adam Clark's commentary, said about this verse. Our word circumspect, from the Latin circumspectio, signifies to look around about on all hands, to be every way watchful, wary, and cautious. In order to avoid danger, discern enemies before they come too nigh, and secure a man's interest by every possible and lawful means. But the original word in the Greek signifies correctly, accurately, consistently, or perfectly. Be ye who have faith, who have received the truth, careful of your conduct. Walk by the rule which God has given you. Do this as well in little, as in great matters or great things. So when you have something small, be as honest in a small venture as you would be in a great venture, right? Exemplify your principles, which are holy and good, by a corresponding conduct. Do not only profess, but live the gospel. Do not only profess, but live the gospel. And I'm going to get into this in a second, but I tell you, the more I'm God keeps coming back to me about these, the power of our words and the power of how you can end your career with a word. Most of you would know who Michael Flynn is. And I'm not picking on the Trump administration, because this happened in every administration. But since it's here at hand, I'm going to use it. Michael Flynn was National Security Advisor for about a couple weeks. But he mischaracterized a story about Russia to the vice president. They just asked him, did you talk with them about sanctions? No. Over the FBI has records that said you did. So he lied, is what happened. And what happened? His career. Poof. Gone. Just like that. Just like that. The power of our words. The power of our words. I'm not done. I'll come back to that. He goes on and says, as you embrace all its promises, the promises of the gospel, be careful also to embrace all its precepts. And behave yourselves so that your enemies may never be able to say that you are holy in your doctrines and profession, but irregular in your lives. Let your enemies never be able to say that you are holy in your doctrines and what you teach and what you profess, but irregular in your lives. And so Paul says that we are to then walk circumspectly. Be aware of what's going on around you and live appropriately. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Not as fools, but as wise. It's a sad day when you have a foolish Christian. Let me say it again. It's a sad day when you have a foolish Christian. So Paul says, don't walk around as a fool, but as wise. Jesus said this concerning walking wisely. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto a wise man or woman. When I read that, I had to ask myself a question. Let me ask it to you. Are you a wise man or woman of God? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, Jesus said If anyone hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man or woman who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, because the rain will descend and the floods will come. And the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Living wisely is living according to God's word. Hello. Amen. Just making sure people are alive. Making sure no one fell asleep. So living wisely is living according to God's will and according to his word. Let me give you another one. Matthew 25:2. You remember the parable of the virgins? Bible says there were five wise and five foolish virgins. It says, now five of them were wise and five were foolish, and those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And you know what happened in the story. They both slumbered and slept while the bridegroom delayed. But then when he arrived, a call was given out, come and join the bridegroom. And they woke from their sleep, and all of them went to trim their lamps. And as they trimmed their lamps and added more oil, the foolish virgin said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for we're running out. And the wise said, no, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather you go to the merchants and purchase oil for yourself. And when the foolish went away to purchase oil, the bridegroom came. And they went into the feast, and the door was shut. And the wise all went in with the bridegroom. The foolish came back and said, open to us. And he said, I never knew you. What was the story? What was the moral? What was Christ saying? Is that those who are wise are going to be ready for Christ's return. They were ready for the bridegroom when he came. Living wisely is living ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, walk appropriately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time or buying back the time because the days are evil. Now, just in case you haven't read the book of Proverbs lately, I'm about to take you through it. Amen. Okay, here we go. As I bring this to a close, because I'm only going to do these two passages of scripture, but I wanted to look at what it means to walk wisely. Okay, not as fools, but as wise. Proverbs 1:5 says this: a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And the question I have is, can anyone instruct us? Can anyone speak to us? And where we would hear what they're saying. Amen. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Come on. Go to the ant. Consider her ways and be wise, Solomon said. Go to the ant. What does an ant do? Ant work. Every time you see. Listen, when's the last time you walked down the sidewalk? Seen an ant laid back in his cot, had his legs up. You know, the ant just kicked back in summertime, man. I'm taking it easy. No, ants always working, always busy. Another thing about ants, they work together. You never see an ant all by himself running along. What do you say? What do they say? If you see one ant, you know there's more. They follow each other's trail. There's a scent that they leave. They can follow each other, and because they're going, what? They're going preparing. Proverbs says that they prepare their food in summer, right? In harvest time. They're preparing for the winter in harvest time. That talks to all of us, and every one of us at times have had to deal with procrastination. Ooh. Where we know we got something to do, but we keep putting it off. Guess what? Ants never put it off. I mean, when that grasshopper's dead, they're going to dissect that brother, and they're going to have him into their house underground ready. They're looking at each other and say, we good. They fist bumping. We good for the winter. We good for the winter. Why? They enjoy winter because they've prepared. The chicken bones we throw away, you name it, they get it all. So ants get a lot done. Later in Proverbs, it says, even though they're small, they get a lot done. They can lift so many times their body weight. But even though even the one can lift a lot, two or three or five will get on one thing and say, well, let's lift it together and we'll get this done. When I read that, I thought about Namibia. I thought about this church is small. Where, I mean, come on. We're small, but what do we do? We work together, and we've sent over $100,000 to Namibia since they've been there. Come on, that's what we do when we do together. I thought about the backpack. Sherry and Marilyn just didn't go out and say, "Well, we're going to do this all by ourselves." They said, "No, if you want to, and we all come together, we'll help, and we're going to do this together. We can lift a whole lot more, even though we're small. We can get a lot done if we come together and help one another." Wisdom. Walk wisely, not as a fool. And as many scriptures are in Proverbs talking about a wise man, there's just as many talking about a foolish man. Proverbs 9:9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Ever had anybody try and tell you something? You're like, man, I ain't trying to hear that. I just did a street version, you know, but I'm just saying. You ever had, come on, I ain't trying to hear that. Get out my face. It's like, that's a fool. That's a fool. Because the scripture says that you can teach a wise man. Proverbs 10:19, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking." Oh, my goodness. God help us. For all of us talkative type. And this hit me right here. I said, my goodness. For those of us, you know, you more extroverted or whatever, every time you see something, you got to say something. You know, you're one of them type people. "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise." He who restrains his lips is wise. How you doing restraining your lips? Hello. I've been having fun with my wife all the time. We have so much fun. My wife and I have so much fun. I love her. I love being with her. Because we talk about so many things. She is truly my companion. She's truly God's gift to me, because when Adam was sitting there and naming all the animals, he going, "Giraffe, giraffe, elephant, elephant. Two by two, remember? I said, be bummed. Two by two." Adam looking at going, "One." two lizards, two bears, one. And God says, "I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to make you a companion." And he made him a companion. And she's my companion. She's truly part of me. We're truly one. We're truly one. Oh, yes, we're truly one. I love her, man. So where was I? In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The list of people who lost their job and other opportunities because of what they said is extremely long. Extremely long. Brian Williams comes to mind, you know. 7 o'clock news, whatever it is, I can't remember, but he said, I was in a helicopter when they were shooting at us, and it turned out he wasn't. I don't know how that happens, but it happened. And you know what happened when he said that? He lost his job. One that is very fresh and was catastrophic, and that made me go, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, Lord, I really like that. Anyhow, some of you may know who Milan Yiannopoulos is now. Yeah, okay, so you, for those of you who don't, you will remember this. I forget which campus was it USC? Which campus it was in Southern California. They were going to have a speaker there, and the people rioted and burned buildings because this speaker was coming there, a very controversial speaker. The campus said, "We're not having him speak." Why? Because he incites everything he says. He says, and these are his words. He said, I say what I say only to offend you to the nth degree. He wants to offend you when he speaks is what he wants to do. Well, the college said, we're not having this. And they started riding, broke windows, and did all this. It was because of this guy was coming to speak on their campus. He's a British guy. He's been going all around the United States speaking on college campuses. Why in the name of free speech? Okay, I understand free speech. I should be able to say what I feel, but I don't understand why you got to give them a platform to speak from in college, on university campuses, to speak their foolishness. I don't understand that. Now, I understand you being able to say what you want to say, but why do you have to have this audience? Because let me tell you something. This is what I've learned. When you sit in the audience and you give someone power, when you're sitting there and you're giving them the place to speak, words carry power. And when people speak and you sitting there just taking it in, you're giving them power, not over you, but definitely to influence you. So this guy is there's some other things I'm not going to say about him. Let's just say, oh, well, you're just, you know, you're against it. Well, I'm against what he said. Now, his lifestyle, that's crazy, too. But anyhow, this guy went on television. And I'm saying this to show you how your words can just destroy you. And in this case, rightfully so. Because he went on the Bill Maher, and I don't watch Bill Maher, but he went on the Bill Maher show, and he said some things that were quite wrong, that were utterly grotesque, had to do with pedophilia. And the news media got a hold of it, and they blasted him. He was going to speak at CPAC, which is the Conservative Political Action Committee that they had this past week. He was going to speak, was labeled to speak there. He had a book coming out 2 days after he was on the Bill Maher show, and he was an editor at Breitbart News. And if you know anything about Breitbart News, if you don't, you can find out. Anyhow, Saturday night he spoke. On Monday, he lost Simon & Schuster shut down his book that was supposed to come out in 2 days. They said, we're not publishing your book because we don't support pedophilia. CPAC called him and says, you're uninvited, you're disinvited to now speak at the CPAC. And he resigned as the editor of Breitbart. This dude came, when the scripture, Jesus said, I saw Lucifer fall as lightning from heaven. This guy literally fell. And he lost everything. And I know I'm being recorded, and I don't have any problem saying, amen. Because what this guy was about was utter nonsense, just utter nonsense, and to be given a platform to speak. So in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And I couldn't even listen to him speak at Bill Maher. I couldn't stomach it. Because of the sin that was certainly not lacking in the multitude of his words. Anna Dombo posted on Facebook the other day, a wise man once said, a wise man once said, he didn't say anything. Sometimes we just need not to say anything. It's a scripture later in Proverbs that says this, even a fool when he shutters his mouth is deemed a man of understanding. Hello? Another scripture says, I'm paraphrasing now, a fool when he's looked upon can be looked as a man of wisdom. Why open your mouth and remove all doubt?
Is that Lincoln?
Quoting scripture? Because that's in here. Right. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he who heeds counsel is wise. So you're going about your life and you're going to do this. I'll never forget one day in the church. I'm young and, you know, I'm not rebellious, but I got something going on in my life. And it's something that I wanted, but the Lord wasn't there yet. As if he's following me. No. And a brother in the church, He's dead and gone be with the Lord now, but he came to me in the church. He says, brother, it seems to me that you're wanting something that God doesn't want you to have right now. And he just looked at me, and I'm like, ooh, getting a little strong up in here. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. I had to heed the counsel. Had to heed the counsel. The question is, are we teachable? Are we teachable? Can we receive counsel? Can another lady come up to you, sister, and say, hey, brother, can another brother come up to you and say, it seems like without getting a head torn off. Paul says, walk not as fools, but as wise. Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. I can see this. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. When you speak, when I speak, do people feel like they're being assaulted? Do people feel like a sword has entered them? Oh, that hurts so bad. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. I was praying this morning, Lord, help every word I say. I want every word I say today to promote health. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. I can encourage and bring life to my wife by the words I speak over her, speak to her. Do our words hurt or destroy people? Very important. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. He who walks with wise men who will be wise. Question is, who are you hanging around with? Who are you hanging out with? Are they wise? Then you'll be wise. Are they foolish? Then you playing the fool. Hello? And I think that, you know, for Solomon's day, it was one thing because you can only spend time with people. But, you know, we can spend time with people because we don't have to be there. We got Twitter. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have recordings. They didn't have audio. They didn't have video. But you can spend time. That's how people in America get radicalized by ISIS, because they spend time watching videos about, we got this state. We're gonna take over the world. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Who you hanging around with, who you listening to. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man fears and departs from evil. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is self-confident. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, my God. When was the last time you heard a message on the fear of the Lord? Listen, if there was anything I wanted God's people to have, you say, oh, it's love, it's grace. No, all of that's given. The love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, all of that's given to you. But the fear of the Lord is the response to what God has given. See? It's all of who he is and all of what he's done. And if you just say, oh, well, you know, I can sin and get away with it. Keep trying. Pastor friend, old Dick Iverson, honey, told the story of when he was coming back from a conference one. Oh, he was coming back from visiting his then fiance, and he was driving home, and he come around a corner, and the car started spinning, and there were lights coming at him. And he was about to have a massive accident. He was going to be broadsided. And he cried out to God, God help me! And his car straightened up, went into a ditch, came out, went on the other side, went around the truck, came out on the other side of the ditch on the other road, and came to a stop. And when the car stopped, he thought to himself, what a marvelous piece of driving. And he said, the Lord said to him, watch it, son. Because the next time, it may not be like that. Because he was about to take credit for what God had done. And he speaks about the fear of the Lord, and spoke a really good message on it probably 30 years ago now. But the scripture says a wise man fears and departs from evil. When I thought about that, I immediately thought of your dad, Melody, because Warren would say, he had a way of saying things so funny that would just crack you up. And one day I forget where we're doing something. He says, "Pat, man, I could never go in the club. You know, you got these Christians, they club. You know, Christians club. Christians go to the club. Christians go to psychics. Christians do things that, you must not be reading this, because I just don't see how you could do it." So anyhow, Warren was talking. He says, "You know, I never go in the club, because," he said, "the moment, the day I step up in the club, be the day they have the shooting. And why everybody running? I get shot in the back. I'm laying right in the floor." And they say, "Yep, there, Brother Warren, up in the club. Look here." He said, "I never go near a club because," but what is that? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, a wise man fears and departs from evil, you know? But people who just think they can just get away with whatever, well, I'm just going to do this. This kid, the other day I was driving, and he comes through on his motorcycle, 70 miles an hour. He's weaving through on 495. He's weaving through traffic like this. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, young man, when you weave and a truck is stopped in that lane and you can't see it and you can't react, see, he's thinking, oh, he ain't departing from evil. Oh, I got this. Oh, you do. No, a wise man fears and departs from evil. You're breaking the law, number one. Okay? But the fool rages and is self-confident. No. The Christian should not be self-confident. I know the world tells you, believe in yourself. Hello? Believe in yourself. You ever seen yourself when you're a mess? Falling apart, I can't do it. Oh, and they said, believe in yourself. I'm like, please give me one better than that. And I can't. That's not going to work. Been there, done that, and it's failed. Proverbs 14:35, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. The king's favor is toward a wise servant. Be wise at work and watch how you stand out before your superiors. Remember Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph said he had, Pharaoh had the dream. Joseph comes in and interprets the dream. And after he interprets the dream, he says, "So, king, this is what you ought to do. Find someone and put them over storing up wheat for 7 years in the seven good years. And you save up all this wheat. And then in the seven sparing years, or the 7 years of drought, have them feed the people. And that way Egypt will endure the famine." And Pharaoh says this, "Well, then who is as wise as you? I put you over the whole, you do it all. You sound like you got the wisdom to do it." And so the king's favor is toward a wise servant. Just live in obedience to God, and they'll see it on the job. They'll see it everywhere. Everywhere. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes a glad father. Oh, yeah. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. In other words, we do not live as islands unto ourselves. It'd be something if what I did had no effect upon you. But I'm a son. I'm a husband. I'm a father. It's interesting how God created this thing. You know, he could have had us just bust out of pods, you know, that boop, you just come out of a pod and boop, here you are. And you're not related to anyone else, but you just, boop, and there you're a human. But no, he didn't. No, he made us related to one another. And so what I do affects you, and what you do affects me. Our lives affects those who are close to us. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. Do we hear? Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Now, beloved, we experience this every day. I'm not saying we all give into it every day, but we experience it every day. Because somebody come to work and they got an attitude. Or you have a customer and they have an attitude. and it's getting up under your skin, and you feel on the inside, wisdom is talking. Mm-mm, don't say that. No. Because you're thinking you're thinking, I about had enough of this. See, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. When you know you need all of your mind, you can't afford to give any of it away. You need to not give nobody a piece of your mind. You just need to keep it all. And the Holy Spirit, the wisdom is speaking on the inside. But do we hear? The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Proverbs 17:10, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Did you hear that? Can I say it again? Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Which means that for the wise, all you have to do is speak to them. You can simply rebuke them. Now, rebuke is a hard thing. It's to express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or actions. It's what a rebuke is. But for a wise man can receive rebuke. And it will be more beneficial for him than 100 blows into a fool. God help us to walk wisely. Are we walking wisely? Paul says, see then that you walk mindfully. Walk appropriately, not as fools, but as wise. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. It's like, you know, the person sitting in the boardroom and everyone's talking and they're sitting over there and you're like, that's an astute dude over there. He ain't said a thing. Then you go over there and you say, do you have anything to say? He said, it's okay. It's okay. I'm sorry. We're going back over here. Mm-mm. Proverbs 23:24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Proverbs 24:23, these things belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. God, we need help with this. Because we show partiality in judgment in so many areas. It's just, I'm not even going to go into it. I mean, it's just so many areas. Rich, poor, black, white, ethnic, where you come from, what country. And in the countries, what part of the country you come from. They get upset with each other because you come from that part. Well, I don't like that part. I don't like the people from that part. I'm from this part. You sit up and be like, are you serious? You're going to judge? You're going to judge based on just because they're different? Oh, yes. Do we treat people the same? Do we treat people equally? Solomon says that the wise do not show partiality in judgment. Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. A fool vents all his feelings. Which one are you? I remember sitting in someone was having some marriage problems years ago. Husband and wife comes to me. I'm in their house. And the wife pulled out this scripture. She says, this fool. I was like, ooh, wait a second. Hold on. Calm down. This fool vents all his feelings. But the Bible says that a wise person will hold them back. I said, here we go. Okay, well, let's work through this. Okay? But there are people like that who they just gotta have to have their say. And they're gonna tell you everything they feel and everything. My wife comes home from work, tell me, some people get on the phone. She answers the phone. It happened to a woman the other day. The person complained for 45 minutes for having to wait. No, they spent 45 minutes complaining about having to wait to get to talk to someone. And then when they get finished complaining, then they hang up. Do you need anything? You want anything? No, click. I'm like, wow, are you serious? What type of mentality is that? This want to vent all their feelings, So that's where some people are. But for the Christian, it ought not be that way. Don't just let it all hang out, you know, just letting it all hang out. Then Paul says in verse 17, Ephesians 5:17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be unwise. And unwise would encompass all of what I just shared, and then some, a whole lot more. But let me close with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in response to Ephesians 5:17 that says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul says, do not be unwise, but understand. Do you know that you can understand what the will of the Lord is? How many people say, oh, I really wish I just knew, Lord, what is it that you want? You know, people be praying and say, Pastor, I just need to know the will of God. You know, God's not hiding his will from anybody, any of his children. Paul says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Remember, I always say, God will never tell you to do something that he has not given you power and authority to do. When he says, but understand what the will of the Lord is perfectly attainable. The issue is not his will. Hello? The issue is, once I find out what his will is, what about my will? Am I going to submit my will to his will? Hello? Remember, I go back to Numbers 23. Balaam goes to God. As Balak comes to Balaam, says, curse Israel for me. Balaam goes to God. God says, you can't curse them. They're blessed. Period. Don't go. So Balaam goes to Balak. Oh, the Lord says for me not to go. However, every man has his price. I said every man has his price. So Balak comes back with more noble ambassadors, more silver, more gold. And they go to Balaam and they say, Balak says, come curse Israel for me. Balaam looks at the people, looks at the money, says, hold on. Now, I know what his will is. He already told me what. See, the issue is not his will. Balaam knows what the will of God. He's already made it perfectly clear. But Balaam's now will is being changed because he's looking at all the goods, the goodies. He says, hold on, let me go check with him again. And then God changed his will. God said, now I'm going to kill you, boy. The angel shows up with his sword drawn. And if it wasn't for the donkey, the angel told Balaam, if it wasn't for the donkey, I would have killed you by now. So I'm going to tell you what it is in my life. It's never about his will. Why? Because he says, right, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How do you discern the will of the Lord? Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6, starting verse 6. However, we speak wisdom. You know, Paul just got done talking about wisdom, right, in Ephesians 5. Paul's picking it up here, too, because the scripture always commentates on scripture. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Thought that was very interesting. All the rulers of this age are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have destroyed or crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Right? We sing that song, you know, it's a beautiful song. What the song doesn't include, which would be very nice if it did, was this next verse. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither is into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Okay, now watch this. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of God. He's one with the Father. He searches all the deep things of God, knows all the things of God. Now watch. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? In other words, if my spirit was in Daphne, Daphne would know everything I felt, everything I intended, everything I thought, everything. She would know it all. But my spirit can't get in her spirit. But God's Spirit is in us. Ooh, 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 ooh. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that when God wants you to know something, there's no way you cannot know it. Therefore, the problem is not he holding back his will. Mm-mm. No, the problem is, no, I knew what he wanted. I knew what he wanted. But I went my own way. I did what I had a person tell me that. Pastor, I heard you preach everything, and I knew I was doing everything against it. While I was doing what I was doing, all I heard was your voice. Everything you taught me over the years was going on in my mind. This was a person who told me this. It wasn't me. She heard the Holy Spirit was kept saying, but she went on and did what she did, and things changed, and that's how things like, but she's blessed now. Amen. Amen. But my point is this, the Spirit of God was doing this right here. The Spirit of God was letting her know, this is what my will is. I don't know. You actually have to shut it down. You have to shut it down, but you do it at your own peril. If you do that. You remember how I told you how I went to, had the food poison and all this, and I said, God, heal me. He said, get the X-lax. And I said, no, that ain't from God. Ah, oh, Lord, touch me. You heal other people. Touch me, Lord. And see, now he said, get the X-lax. What? He revealed his will, right? No, I don't want that. I want you to touch me. I'm young, stupid in Jesus, right? And then, see, now the issue was when I woke up with the pain, it was never, the issue was not God's will. The issue was my will. See, now I'm saying I've learned this, and this is what I'm telling you here now, is that when Paul says understand what the will of the Lord is, he would not say that if you could not understand what the will of the Lord is. Listen, you can understand the will of the Lord. You need to know that. Because God's not hiding around in the bushes. I'm playing a little hide and seek and see if they can figure this out. No! Come on, God. No, God is not like that. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, the spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And so when Paul says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He's talking very plainly. And as we walk with Christ, in our everyday lives, and it comes about, even when you're driving, you're driving down the road and, you're getting down. And this person here is driving too slow. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to go around, go around. And on the inside, Holy Ghost be like, everything's all right. Why are you rushing? Calm down. Everything's fine. The will of the Lord. No. Yeah, I got to get where I'm going. See, and so it's learning it in everything. Paul says, be not unwise. He didn't qualify it. He didn't begin to list a whole bunch of things. Says, no, you can only understand what the will of the Lord is in this big area up here. And then it's real huge. When you get married, you need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's not who. Don't get hung up on who. Mr. Wright. Mrs. Wright. I can only marry her. No. It's not who. It's are you submitted to his will in the relationship? That's what matters. I'm a pastor now. Maybe you don't think along this line, but I've had people come to me and ask me, Pastor, did I marry the right person? How do I know that I married the right person? And I turned around and looked at the person. How long you been married? Oh, about 15 years. I said, the day you got married, he became the right person. And I put an end to that. Done. Okay? Fixed. So, Just by way, now, if you need some help figuring out something like that, come before you say I do. After you say I do, the question is illegitimate. It does not matter. Okay. I'm gone so long, my finger is gone shut. Now, my prayer for us is exactly what Paul said, that we might understand what the will of the Lord is and then give ourselves to it. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Stand to your feet. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your love and your compassion. You gave all for us. Now, Lord, help us day by day through the revelation of Christ by the Holy Spirit to then lay down all of who we are, that we might be wholly yours, that we might wholly live for the glory and the praise of your most majestic and holy name. Father, I pray that the word of God, which is transforming us, Lord, into your image and into your own likeness, O God, Lord, would run swiftly and have free course, Lord, and finish that, accomplish that to where you sent it, O God. And may we be that your word has prophesied us to be, without spot, without wrinkle, without any other blemish, that we might be ready for your coming. Lord, I ask your blessing upon your people all this week in Jesus' holy and mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.